This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Second period especially missed. We missed two or three empty nets off the backside of the goaltender. And we left a lot of good chances out there. Tight game. It was a hard-fought game. We were doing a lot of good stuff, against those two top lines. And we were generating enough to win it. We had a power play at the end that gave us two or three really good opportunities. Even hit the post, late there through the maze. But we just left too many. The second period, we left too many chances there.
It's Toronto, so one left in the regular go-around for Buffalo. It happens tomorrow against Philadelphia with Marty and Brian. What would be the focal point on the last game as far as what you would want to see given what they haven't been seeing of late?
Well, They did do some good things against Toronto last night, and that's the thing that you can look at the game and say it's a 1-0 game until late and maybe a 2-0, and it ends up being 4. So the score is the score and you move on. I felt like the execution was just off. Like Lindy talks about some wide open nets and backdoor plays, and okay, well, you have to execute those. You have to put it tape to tape. Like Matthews to Marner to make it 2-0. They executed. They found the back of the net, right? That's the difference there. That at the end of the day, in a tight game, it makes a difference. So I'd like to see a little bit more of the execution side of it. Obviously, there wasn't enough net front, and that's a big thing. Now, they did have some chances around the net, but we talked before the game, and if you had the pregame scout on, Anthony Stolarz, it would be, he's big. He makes the first save, get the rebounds. He's good laterally. So I think it worked more in his favor. He looked really good last night, but the Sabres made him look good in the way that they attacked him. So what do I want to see tomorrow? I want to see a little bit more of that speed and desperation and execution. This is now 4 games where, you go in Columbus, you have a chance to win. It's not there. You go in Florida, you play against a depleted team, you have a chance to win. You don't come up with a win. Didn't play well in Tampa, and then you had a chance to win, but it didn't come through. So that's 4 games in a row where I feel the execution didn't, on both sides of the ice, didn't put you in a winning way. So you have 1 game left, and it's against the Flyers, a team that has given up some goals of late. So the execution has to be there because that's the way you're going to go in the offseason.
It doesn't feel like, though, there's an appetite for change in the sense of lines and things like that. So so what does that mean for players down in the lineup who are unlikely to move up and play with different players?
Well, I don't feel, and I don't have an appetite for things to change. I think your top nine has been the same pretty much for the last, you know, consistently for the last 3 weeks or so, maybe close to a month. They've produced, they've been able to score goals. Put the Toronto game aside, you still were able to produce and score. You had a 3-game losing streak on the road, but you had won 6 at home. So, you know, that Toronto game kind of makes it that you extend that losing streak, but you lost 1-7 at home. So I don't see the need for change. You know, Sam Lafferty knows his role. He's not going to get elevated in the lineup. Noah Oslin is going to go back to Rochester, and he'll probably play a full season in Rochester again next year. He's getting an opportunity, maybe a taste of the NHL, but I don't see the need to say, oh, we got to give Noah Oslin top three lines opportunity. And Isaac Rosén played last night. Maybe it's hard for him to be called up, sent down, called up, sent down, called up. But I've not seen, like, really any reason to say, okay, well, let's give Rosén that look. I think it's, again, go to Rochester, play your games, get in the playoffs. I would be very surprised if Rosén is fighting for a roster spot next year. I just don't see it. Number one, there's too many bodies on the roster. There's going to be some change needed, but I don't see that. I don't see Oslin. I don't see Rosén. So look at your nine, your top nine. Try to continue to build some things. Have some sort of assembly of what you would want it to be game one next year.
But how do you do that when you don't have four guys?
It's hard. It's really hard.
Right. So that's why I'm on the train of appetite for change, because the games haven't mattered in the standings. So why not give the other players an opportunity? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you my opinion, my thought process here. That's all.
No. So. And there's a fine thought process there, but I'm also looking at, I'm not all of a sudden saying to Benson, I'm going to put something in your spot, somebody in your spot.
Right. But because do we think Zach Benson's a top line player?
He's not. But okay. I mean, when you look at the roster
Jack Quinn's in another long goalless drought now too. And this is where you're trying to, you know, manage expectations and performance and opportunity. So I'm just curious, like, again, I'm throwing all this out in the realm of curiosity, because I don't know how players get, like, I don't know how you try to give them opportunity to prove themselves in situations that don't maybe present a certain way. I don't know. I could be completely off.
No, and I think you're the way that I thought, you know, about your question was more, you know, the guys that are in the fourth line right now. If you want to make some changes inside the top nine, I think that maybe you're looking at it. But so you look at Jack Quinn, you're like, he's not finding the back of the net now. And they did make a switch last game where they did Tuck and Quinn and they changed them. So they put Tuck with McLeod and Peterka, and Quinn played with Krebs and Zucker. That didn't last long. There wasn't any energy. They didn't have anything going on those two lines. So all of a sudden, boom, you're putting it back to normal. Quinn did have a couple of good chances yesterday. Hit the goalie in the chest both times, and you're like, okay, now you're getting the look. It's on you to be able to put it somewhere where you're going to score or create that opportunity. But I'm looking at, okay, see, if I want to say I'm going to elevate Quinn, where do I put him? You know, maybe it's just another switch with Tuck, and you've got Quinn all of a sudden with Krebs and Zucker, but does that give Quinn a better offensive opportunity? I don't think so. I'm not moving Quinn up to play with Kulik and Thompson, because Benson is doing a good job there. So it's a great question, and it's probably a topic that is being discussed in the coach's room. I don't see a clear answer to that right now to warrant, like, okay, we'll change things for the last game of the season. The guys that you want to perform, Tuck has been performing, Thompson has been performing, Peterka has been performing. You've got those guys that have been performing. You want them to perform. At least that is working for you.
Well, you
but they're doing the same thing. Like, for example, in your way of thinking, they're doing the same thing with Luukkonen right now. They're saying he needs to play. He needs to be getting games.
Well,
so we're going
to
play him.
And they played him. One of 23-27. And you just said it a few minutes ago. They have too many bodies right now, even with a whole bunch of them not playing due to injury. Like, have you gained any clarity as to, like, what you think next year is going to look like? I mean, Josh Norris is out with an injury that is, you know, apparently a 6 to 8 week thing. So we got basically no sample size of his work with Buffalo.
But Bozak, that's like acquiring a player in the summertime. Like, I look at Josh Norris. You made the trade at the trade deadline. You were hoping to get more than 3 games from him. But when I see him in training camp next year, it's almost like, oh, like a player you acquire in the offseason. And then he gets going
right,
to training
but
camp.
Is he the number one center? Or are you still going out and acquiring a number one center? And this is why I'm asking these questions about who fits where, because you've gone through the entire season now, and like, it's hard to, and you've had a cupboard full of prospects that are trying to knock the door down, and there's only room for so many, and you've already extended contracts on others, right? So apologies,
because now you
my head
Greenway
is a little
who's sitting
cloudy
there.
Here.
Yeah,
because,
Greenway's sitting there not
because
playing.
Because there's a lot of atmospheric pressure.
Yeah, Greenway's sitting there not playing and he's hurt. And you're like, okay, where does he fit next year? You know, so that's one you have to make decisions of. Obviously, Krebs and you know, McLeod needs a contract, but he's an RFA. So you can always take him to arbitration if you want. Quinn and Peterka need contracts. You got Byram. So there's a lot there. But so for me, I'm looking offensively. Would I be okay with Josh Norris being my number one center? Yeah. I think that offensively, if you put Norris with Thompson and somebody else on the other wing, I think that I'm okay with the offense that that line or that twosome can provide. Now, that leaves you with Kulik as a number two center and McLeod as a number three center. Offensively, I'd be okay with Kulik as a number two center and McLeod as a number three center. Defensively, though, I don't know that that's the best fit to have Norris, Kulik, and McLeod. It's because I don't know enough about Norris's defensive game. I don't see it as a, hey, he's going to go shut down other teams. But if offensively he's really good, then okay, they'll have the puck and they'll outscore their problems. For me, the biggest question when it comes to the roster, again, is you have so many pieces up front as forwards, and you need help on the blue line and on the defensive side of the game. So how do you turn these pieces up front into help on the blue line? I think if you booster your blue line, you can go Norris, Kulik, McLeod in the middle. You can go Norris Thompson and player X. You can go Kulik with Peterka and Quinn, McLeod with Tuck and Zucker, or you can switch that around. If you booster the blue line, you can go with that. And I remember when I was with the Flyers, and in Philadelphia, you know, from 08, 09 to 2009, 2010, all of a sudden, I didn't get re-signed. They signed Ray Emery. And the mentality in Philadelphia was, we're good with Jeff Carter. We're good with Danny Briere. We're good with Mike Richard as a third line center, potentially. We're good with all of that. But we need to bolster the blue line. And what did they do? They acquired Chris Pronger. And that made a big difference because it didn't matter that you had Ray Emery in net or Brian Boucher and Michael Layton. And it didn't matter who your offense or your defensive centermen were because it wasn't about them. It was about you have Kimmo Timonen, you have Chris Pronger, you have Braden Coburn, and you have a blue line that's solid. So can you turn some of those pieces up front because you have too many of them? You're not going to be allowed to carry 17 forwards next year. You're probably going to carry 14. And this year, they carried 13 at the start of the season. So, and can you turn that into some defensive help? And now you have Owen Power injury that comes into play with all of this. Look, Kevin Adams say Owen Power is going to get a second opinion tomorrow to see if it's a rehab situation, a surgery situation. Where is Owen Power going to be next year? Well, I think at best you can say, he's not going to be 100%. So you need to even take that approach in bolstering the blue line even more because Power, in my opinion, will not be 100% at the start of the year next year. Or if he's physically 100%, he will have missed a lot of the gains that he could have gotten over the summer because he won't have a normal offseason.
Well, I guess jury's out on that as far as length of rehabilitation process for his injury. And I'm not familiar with the games he would miss in the summer. Sorry to be a smart aleck here.
Well, you are a smart aleck, but I mean, Owen Power needs a good summer. Owen Power needs to train.
What's the Beauty League or something in Minnesota?
He's not playing in Minnesota in the Beauty Hockey League, the BHL. It's not that, but he like anybody that goes into an off season healthy. Okay. So you're going in, maybe you're not 100%, but you're like, I'm going to start my workout program at the end of April, May 1st, right? I'm in the gym and I'm starting May, June, July, August. I'm making grounds. I'm getting stronger. Maybe you're taking time to say, I need to work on flexibility. So instead of being in the gym doing like full, like, you know, body lifting and weight gaining and all of that, you're doing flexibility, but you have so much time to be able to do everything. Mm-hmm. But if you're going through rehab or surgery and that takes a long time, by the time you're done with this and you're starting to, okay, now I need to make gains. Now I need to get on the ice and be quicker and work at my game. You don't have the same off season. You don't have the opportunity to do that. So yeah, summers are really important. Is there games in the summer? No. Are you winning the Stanley Cup in the summer? No. But individually, summers are really important, especially in that case where Owen Power was after this season.
You could have just said that you said gains and not games, and I would have believed you. So
he needs to make gains.
Games.
For his game to be better next year. And it will be, so we'll find out, right? Like, second opinion, they'll discuss it. Will we find out Friday or Saturday when the Sabres meet with the media? And I think it's Saturday afternoon that Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff are going to talk to the media. We may not find out by then, but we'll find out within a week and 10 days what is the plan of action and what that means for Owen Power. But bolstering the blue line. Look at what Toronto did last year. And I'm using Toronto because they were here last night and, you know.
Yeah, but their defense last night doesn't resemble at all what the defense actually looks like.
No, because you don't have McCabe and you don't have Ekman Larson. Exactly. But what's the biggest difference on the blue line for the Toronto Maple Leafs this year is Chris Tanev from where they were a year plus ago. It's Chris
Tanev.
Or
just general commitment to playing a certain way.
Craig Berube, new coach, makes a big difference. But Tanev comes
in. And better goaltending, save percentage, you like to point that out, makes all the defensemen look better.
But Joseph Woll was there last year. Save percentage.
Nobody liked them at the start. I like them. I've liked them for a long time. Like, only one team wins the cup every year. Toronto's been great since Matthews came into the league. Yeah. Make the playoffs every year. They're a great team. They could win the whole thing. In fact, they might be my favorite right now to come out of the East. But anyway,
Tampa is
my favorite.
People
still didn't like the goaltending at the start. I'm like, what's not to like? These two guys are good.
Over the last 3 weeks, I've switched to Tampa. I think Tampa is my favorite for the East right now. But you're right. Look, the difference is they were getting in the playoffs because they had such a good team and they got to the playoffs and they had Jack Campbell and Ilya Samsonov and they had an injured Freddie Anderson and that's what they had to roll out. But what they did this year is they said, we're going to continue our development with Joseph Woll and let's go and get somebody who we think can have a little bit more upside and we'll go get Anthony Stolarz who won the cup as a backup with Florida last year. But we're going to make a commitment to our blue line and our defense and that's going to make a big difference. Tanev is a huge add for them when they added him and it makes a big difference to have Chris Tanev in the lineup. Look, Tanev went to Dallas last year and Dallas, you know, spotted him and said, we need that guy for the playoffs. And the Leafs said, we need him for the season and the playoffs. He's a big reason. So can you find a Chris Tanev to go along with Dahlin and Byram and Power? Like, can you find that? Just that alone would be a big difference.
Sure. I guess anything is possible, but Tanev had a built-in connection with the Maple Leafs general manager.
Yes,
so
with Calgary.
Many things have to be lined up here. You know what I mean? And so Yeah. Like, sure. Things
there's
can
somebody
happen,
out there that maybe doesn't have a connection to Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff.
Yeah, I'm not saying it has to. I'm just saying it went maybe, that way because.
Maybe money talks. Maybe it's like, hey, let's find somebody. And maybe that's, an overpay for somebody that's going to come in and stabilize. Look, right. There's many. Maybe it's a trade. Maybe it's an overpay in a trade. Maybe it's we're going to package some prospect and, you know, some of our picks or whatever to go get that guy. But I feel like that's the number one need is to bolster the defense to make sure that you get that defenseman that will come in and do what Chris Tanev did or what, to a certain extent, I'm looking at Montreal, but David Savard did in Montreal to settle. Now, David Savard's getting older, and in year two and three and four, it's not the same. But I think that's the type of bolstering that you can see on the back end.
Yeah, and I mean, why did Montreal get better? Because they had a superstar rookie in Lane Hutson and better save percentage, and it's less about David Savard. So I'm not trying to take away from Chris Tanev here. It's just like there's so much more maturity throughout their lineup and better goaltending. So I don't know. Like, it's just, it's not as simple as just plugging in one or two. Can it help? Sure. Of course it can help. Absolutely. And your point is 1,000,000% valid here in the discussion of like, what does the defense core for Buffalo look like next year, especially now that they're dealing with Owen Power's end of season injury. So it's a lot better. By the way, Darren Dreger is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour here. One more smart aleck comment. Because I know you invited me to offer up as many as possible.
Always.
When are you traveling to Montreal? Because Carolina doesn't seem to want to dress anybody for tonight, so I'm assuming you're going to be an emergency backup as they tank the final game to ensure Montreal gets in.
Well, I don't think Carolina cares if Montreal or Columbus get in.
Okay, do they not care because Don Waddell used to work there and now he's in Columbus?
I don't think they do. I think it's a great storyline.
It's not a great storyline. It's petty and it's awful if this actually comes
to pass. I think Carolina
pass.
Cares about themselves more than anything, but they have a game tonight in Montreal and a game tomorrow in Ottawa. They play back-to-back to close out the season.
Now, right, and tomorrow doesn't mean anything. Tonight, for the integrity of the league, means everything.
It does, and I follow along with what you're saying. Now, this morning at Morning Skate in Montreal, Carolina did not have Sebastian Aho, Jalen Chatfield, Seth Jarvis, Jordan Martinook, Jacob Slavin, Jordan Staal, and Jackson Blake. That's seven of their top players not on the ice.
Optional.
Could they play tonight? Yes. Some of them could. Maybe you're not playing some tonight, and maybe you're not playing some tomorrow. You split it in half. Maybe Aho's not playing tonight and tomorrow Svechnikov's not playing. I think when you leave it to chance, like Montreal to a certain extent and Columbus, that it's the last game or the last two games of the season, these are situations that happen. Look, Montreal could be clinched if they had beaten Chicago at home.
Mm-hmm.
They lose in a shootout. Well, you know what? Maybe Carolina dresses their old team, or maybe you get lucky and Carolina doesn't dress their old team. Columbus had a moment there where they could not win any game. Right. If they had won one of those games, maybe they'd be in a different situation and you wouldn't leave it to Montreal having to lose to Carolina. So that's what happens in the last week of the season. That happens in football, in the NFL, when teams rest their starter week 18. And you're like, well, there's playoff implications. Well, it happens. So does Carolina have a little bit more of, well, we used to have Don Waddell as a GM and now he's in Columbus and we'd rather have Montreal make the playoffs than Columbus? I don't believe so. It doesn't look right, but I think they're just thinking about themselves.
Yeah, I would hope not. I mean, Carolina doesn't like Montreal either. So I would just hope that they go out and play a game, and whoever skates and whoever tends goal, I hope that it looks like a real effort. I'm optimistic that it will for all my consternation on this right now. I'm speaking more, tongue in cheek, obviously, but
Carolina could play Montreal or Columbus in the second round, because whoever finishes eighth will play Washington. Washington is not a lock. I mean, they're the number one team in the Eastern Conference, but it's not a lock that, you know, they're going to win. So, and I think Carolina is going to beat New Jersey. That's just me. It's not a lock. But if Carolina beats New Jersey and whoever gets in at eight, Montreal or Columbus, then it would be against Carolina. So do you have a play into that as well, selfishly, knowing that maybe you can face those teams? Yes. I don't know that Carolina would want to face Montreal, to be honest with you. I think Montreal right now is a team that you're like, oof, that top line with Suzuki, Lane Hudson, they got Demidov.
Yeah.
So I think they would want to beat Montreal so that it opens the door for Columbus tomorrow.
Well, I mean, Montreal has lost three in a row. So, yeah, we'll see. There was some.
Let me ask you this. If they lose tonight, losing regulation to Carolina, and Columbus wins tomorrow in regulation and gets in,
I will promise you I won't do the show on Friday.
Well, we don't have a show Friday.
Oh, okay.
So we don't have a show Friday. Good Friday, we are off. But would you consider this a disaster for Montreal? I'm not going to label it a choke, but would you consider this a disaster, a failure of some sort for Montreal?
No, because the best story in the NHL this year is the Columbus Blue Jackets, and my hope is they get in at the expense of
Montreal.
Yeah,
but Montreal was up 6 points with like a week left.
Yeah, but you just said it. I mean, you can. That's why you play 82. Like, I don't care whether it happens. I don't.
Yeah.
Montreal's lost three in a row, but they still have points in two of those three.
Yeah.
So if you want to play the opposite game of how many games they have points in over the last 15, it's still going to be an overwhelming majority, right? It is what it is.
The biggest thing for me, that Montreal started terribly and they were able to recover. Not a lot of teams recover from that. I almost feel like if Montreal was to miss the playoff, it's like a parallel to one of my favorite movies of all time, Apollo 13, where they deemed the mission a successful failure. Like if Montreal misses the playoffs, it's still a successful season in the way that I didn't think and a lot of people didn't think they would even be there at the end of the season. But it is a failure because they weren't able to get in. So that's where I draw the comparison. Like it would be a successful failure because they would have taken a step forward, but not gotten it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Well, that's just opening up a whole other can of worms, because looking at the Rangers and the Red Wings identical in the standings, are you then going to apply the same logic to the Red Wings because somehow they are thought of as more successful under Todd McClellan, even though they didn't get in? I don't know. I feel like whichever way the wind blows is convenient for most people's narratives.
Yeah, I think that the Red Wings is more of a, we failed this year, but maybe more in the sense that they didn't have the right coach. I don't love their roster. So it's still a lot of work to do. The Rangers is a complete failure. I mean, the Rangers and the Nashville Predator are probably the two most disappointing teams in the NHL this year. And I thought it was going to be Nashville all the way, the number one most disappointing team. And right now I think the Rangers are giving them a run for their money, because, you know, Nashville were disappointing all season long. The Rangers, I mean, with the expectations, that's a bad fall.
Oh, I feel like we should do a podcast on Radko Gudas's puck handling ability. But you probably don't know what I'm talking about, and maybe we'll save it for after the break.
Is that because last night?
Or for another day.
Yeah, the game ended last
from
night.
Last night, yeah. Yeah, if you were to set an ominous tone for how the final minute of play was going to unfold for the Ducks, Radko was carrying the torch for that. Anyway,
now quickly,
congratulations
on that
to
one.
Minnesota. We have to take a break. We got Dregs.
Okay, but I'm going to ask you a quick question. Do you think that Matt Boldy was looking for Eriksson Ek on the back door on the tying goal? Because if he did, my brain is exploding.
Oh, well, but it's the Zuccarello pass that even gives that a chance. I do believe it's the, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and go through frame by frame, but this is
I think
all...
he was trying to pass it there, which is 10 seconds left. Your back door, you have the puck.
Yeah.
Like 99.9% of players would take the shot. And if you take the shot,
25 seconds left is a big difference. There's room to maneuver.
There's a little, but he looked back door to a player that was coming from behind the net. Like it was incredible. And that saves Minnesota's season.
It did. I mean, the drama in the West was pretty amazing last night.
The drama was palpable.
I don't know. It's a good word. I don't use it often, but it's definitely a sporting word. Fan appreciation night tomorrow at KeyBank Center. Look forward to seeing you there, as we usually do in situations like this. Lucky Row giveaways, discounts on concessions, big discount on the team store, Alex Tuck bobbleheads for the first 15,000 fans. All the info at sabres.com/tickets. And angry, presumably, for having to wait, Darren Dreger is next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hockey insider Darren Dreger from TSN with his weekly installment. Perhaps a tad early because we're off on Friday. Darren, welcome. Hi. Thank you for joining us.
How are you doing? Everybody good?
Good. I'm trying to figure out whether we go glass half full or half empty here, because for every great story of teams, you know, sneaking in like we saw last night. Or you're going to have a team that misses. So then that can bring about some more critical assessment. Let's just go with what your hunch is for tonight in Carolina, Montreal. What are you anticipating?
That's a tough one. Well, my hunch overall is that Montreal gets in. And so they need 1 point, and that's not going to be easy against the Carolina Hurricanes. You know, I mean, all teams right now, especially the playoff teams like Carolina, are in that mindset. There's a certain way that you have to play. And with Rod Brind'Amour, that's non-negotiable. So they're going to be wired for sound, I would think, against the Montreal Canadiens. But there's also a part of me, and I think that we can all appreciate this from a world perspective, how great would it be to, you know, just boost the Columbus Blue Jackets into the playoff picture, you know, especially based on how the season, the year started with the nightmare of the loss of the Goudreau brothers. And just to see how Dean Evason and that group pulled together over the course of the year to get to this point is utterly remarkable. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable. So from a world hockey perspective, it would be a bigger, maybe a better story overall, of course, if it's Columbus. But there is something about this Montreal Canadiens team that deserves our respect. And, you know, I'm still a little bit skeptical over what the imminent influence of Demidov is going to be. You know, we saw a wonderful debut the other night. Terrific first period, you know, assist, followed up by a goal. But to, again, to expect that young man to consistently inject the offense needed to really, truly help the Montreal Canadiens, I'm still a little bit unsure. I need a bigger sample size. But the Montreal Canadiens have had a heck of a run. So the Canadian story, the better story, of course, is Montreal, the NHL wanting that market in because it's a major market. But it does feel sort of like a storybook if Columbus is able to find a way.
So that is the, you know, eighth seed that's still waiting to be determined, Montreal or Columbus. Game tonight, game tomorrow. We'll see. Yeah. Maybe it ends tonight with Montreal getting a point. If they don't, then Columbus has a shot. In the Western Conference, the top seed, the Winnipeg Jets, are going to play the St. Louis Blues. Hellebuck Bennington, you know, like the Jim Montgomery coming back, and the Jets not able to get playoff success of late and losing to Colorado last year in a disastrous way.
Yeah.
Do you give the Jets like they're going to crush St. Louis, or is this going to be a tight matchup because of the way the Blues have been playing lately? And Jordan Binnington, big game Binnington, what he can do.
I think the latter. I think it's going to be a heck of a series. You know, good luck predicting this one. I do think Winnipeg is going to win the series, so there's my prediction. Whether they do it in six or seven, that's impossible to say. But I do think it'll be a lengthy series. Winnipeg has some adversity right now, though, right? You know, they've got Nikolaj Ehlers, who's out week to week. You know, that poor guy just can't stay healthy. You know, they've got some other pieces that are somewhat on the fence. Gabe Vilardi skated this week, but you know, I expect that he'll play, but how influential can he be when he's, you know, maybe skating a couple of times before the start of game one of the opening round of the playoffs? But they have other pieces that are going to have to step up. Alex Iofalo has a new contract, so he's super motivated. You've got Cole Perfetti, who I think has had a real good year. So I'm talking a lot about Winnipeg, and when I look at the St. Louis Blues, I'm reminded of, again, maybe it's history repeating itself to a degree, but I'm reminded of the conversation I had in January where Doug Armstrong of the Blues was literally at that crossroads yet again with this club. What do I do? Do I start to try and transition on the fly by moving out some core pieces like Braden Schenn, other pieces that were in the wheel of speculation leading up to the trade deadline? And that was twofold. That was legit. That was real. I mean, he had a decision to make as general manager, but it was delivering a message to that team, the core of that team. You guys got to start playing better or you're going to leave me with no other option. And they responded in a huge, huge way. And then you had the Bennington factor of the Four Nations face-off and, you know, how well he played there and coming out of that. So I got all the time in the world for the St. Louis Blues. If St. Louis wins this series, I wouldn't call it an enormous upset. I mean, it may look like that, you know, given the fact you've got the President's Trophy, everything Winnipeg has accomplished this year. But that St. Louis team is a good team, and they're certainly well-coached.
Well, the Blues have injury issues too, with the absence of Holloway, and obviously they've overcome a lot on the blue. And I'm still going to say that I think the best in-season acquisition was Cam Fowler. I really do. I think
it's hard to argue. It's up there.
Changed everything for the Blues defense. Speaking of defense, with Owen Power going to New York tomorrow for more evaluation, do you have any insight into just, you know, kind of the latest on the Sabres, the Josh Norris going into next year, Owen Power going into next year, just things you may have put together?
Well, you know, we did that game on TSN last night, and our buddy Mike Johnson put up a graphic just looking at all the point getters and the good seasons that several of the Buffalo Sabres players enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And yet here we are. We're talking about another fruitless season for the Sabres in terms of playoff hockey. So I wouldn't say there's much on the injury front. Josh Norris, I don't think that was much of a surprise. I think that for the most part, the Sabres knew what they were getting in Josh Norris. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the same shoulder-related problems, you know, that he's had historically. So there's some good news in just being able to say that. But they knew that it's more about longer term, the fit of Josh Norris in Buffalo. And they got some other good pieces, mm-hmm. you know, included Bernard Docker, I thought was pretty good for the Sabres last night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Owen Power, again, not much there. But I'm curious, you know, when you go into the offseason as a non-playoff team, and especially a team like Buffalo that's been through so much for so long, the easy prediction is it's not bold. Well, there's got to be change. Okay, great. Thanks, Tips. Well, what does that change look like? And that's where it gets real challenging for me. You know, my understanding is that management still has the support of ownership, right? I got a hard time believing that there'd be another coaching change. I mean, you do need that layer of consistency in your front office, you know, because otherwise you get panicked throughout the hockey operations and the organization in general. So now we're talking one more time about the roster. And Kevin Adams was open to making big deals at the trade deadline, and he made a big deal at the trade deadline. How open is he to changing that roster again in the offseason? That's what we're going to find out. You know, is Jack Quinn legitimately going to be in play? Speculation around Paterka. Go down the list. Maybe one of the big defensemen. Mm-hmm. You know, something has to change the future of the Buffalo Sabres. So I think this is an important, another important offseason for Adams.
Okay, so this afternoon started the show, I talked about bolstering the blue line. Like the forwards you just mentioned, Thompson, Tuck, Paterka, McLeod, Zucker, like they all have great numbers and, you know, some of their best, and it's good. Dahlin's having a great year, and Byron's having a really good year, offensive year, and bolstering the blue line other ways. I'm looking at the UFA market, and a player like Aaron Ekblad will be a UFA. Right shot D, 29. You know, is he young? No, but you don't have to bring in a 24-year-old. That's not what you look.
No.
Do you think a player like Aaron Ekblad, number one, would be available on July 1, or is that a Florida, you know, we move on with him? Because then there's also the Bennett situation in Florida, but would an Aaron Ekblad be a guy that you think would come in and solidify your blue line, especially on the right side?
Yeah, I mean, he would definitely help, and he'd help in a number of different ways. I still think that there's lots of mileage left in Aaron Ekblad, right? And the fact that he's had to serve a 20-game suspension, you know, his body is going to be more rested than any player going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, there's only so much money, and you can only slice the salary cap pie so thin. And we know that the cap is going up next year. But I also know that they've invested in certain pieces and elements, right? Mm-hmm. And they left two guys more or less unprotected, and that is Sam Bennett, and that is Aaron Ekblad. They're not going to be able to sign both those guys. You know, there's other areas of need and concern and attention as required by Billy Zito. I think that Bennett goes to the open market because I don't think Florida can afford to pay what he's going to command. You know, when you look at that unrestricted free agent pool, it's not very deep, is it, with top UFAs? Mm-hmm. And I mean, with all due respect to Sam Bennett, there wouldn't be many teams that wouldn't like Sam Bennett on their team. But are we prepared to call him a superstar? I'm not. I mean, he's a really good player. He's a really good player. That's but exactly I don't think he's a superstar.
It's going to be an overpay. Some teams are going to
You're right. We always remember we have an avoidance. We try to avoid the word great.
Yeah.
Bennett is not a great player.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's a very good player.
100% agree.
Very effective, this, that,
but
the
is
other
he an $8 million player? That's the thing, right?
I think he's north of that. I think this guy's going to get
a bear north of that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think I look at, okay, there's the uncertainty what Toronto's going to do with Mitch Marner, you know, other pieces, John Tavares, who, in my opinion, his stock has gone up. I mean, he wants to stay in Toronto, but his stock has gone up. So there'll be a negotiation there. You know, the Detroit Red Wings, not to get off track away from Buffalo and Ekblad and all that, but the Detroit Red Wings are a team that, I mean, they've missed the playoffs for 9 straight years. They're feeling it too there, right? Mm-hmm. They've got a real anxious fan base. They've got an anxious ownership group there, but they have cap space and they have money and they have the interest in doling out the big bucks. If a guy like Marner were to hit the open market, I think Detroit tries to take a big swing there. Or a Sam Bennett, right? So that's the market that we're generating. So Florida can't keep all those guys. So if they know that Bennett's going to the open market and they can't afford to keep him, then maybe they throw a little bit more Ekblad's way to keep him.
So if you're saying Bennett is north of $8 million on the open market, I mean, what does that mean for Marner? 16? Like, seriously, like, is somebody going to throw 15, 16 million at Mitch Marner in the open market? Because he just hit 100 points. And, you know, those players don't grow on threes, obviously. So are you, like, in Toronto, it's probably 12 and a half to 13, but open market.
No, it's higher than that in Toronto, man.
You think it's higher?
I think Toronto would go 13 and a quarter. Maybe they're pushed to 13 and a half. And that's just they'd go to 13 and a quarter. So if you're at 13.25, like, come on, you know, you go to 13 and a half if that's what it's going to take. I think it's just going to come down to a lifestyle issue for Marner. You know, the fishbowl isn't for everybody, even though, you know, born and raised Toronto area guy, all of that, you know, his wife is expecting, you know, does he want to raise his family in a fishbowl? And he's at a place now where he can dictate what his future looks like, not just financially, but, you know, does he go to another? There's going to be a flood of interest in Mitch Marner. Is it going to get to 15, 16? Probably not, because unless he goes to a team that is going to win anytime soon, like, right?
Chicago?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can come up with a list. But
we have no time for lists. We have to go.
this went from Buffalo to Toronto pretty quickly, didn't it? It's amazing how that works.
Quicker than a trip on the QEW. Yes. Dregs, thank you.
Hey, guys, thank you.
Back after this on Sabres Live.
Resorts and casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, don't take this personally, Marty, but yes. Over the course of the last 53 minutes, I have developed a massive headache.
Well,
so if you've noticed me doing this more often during the show today, that would be why.
Yeah,
and
well, you know,
the
and it's
counter
all that
is
research
now I know how the audience feels every day. So
I don't think so. I think we relieve a lot of headaches, but sometimes we ask too many questions and it's probably causing headaches. Let me say, like, if it was your birthday today, Duffer, you wouldn't have a headache because you'd be celebrating. It'd be all good. Bill Belichick is 73 today.
That gives me a headache.
Martin Lawrence is 60. That's the actor, Martin Lawrence. Do you remember Conchita Martinez?
As opposed to Steven Lawrence?
The tennis player. Do you remember her in the 90s? Conchita Martinez?
Mm-hmm.
She is 53 today. Akon's 52. So anyway, there's some... you know, some birthdays of significance in the sports world.
I didn't have time to ask Dregs. We have way too much time to ask this moving forward, but since it's one of the only notes on my page, which of these big name teams is toast after round one? Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton, Florida, Tampa.
Edmonton, Florida, Dallas. And I think Colorado is going to win the cup.
Really? Wow.
Gabe Landeskog, baby.
See you tomorrow.